This morning, friends, I'd like us to look at some words from Romans chapter 1, verse 7. The words are, called to be saints. Called to be saints. I've been thinking and doing some work recently on the general subject of our calling in Christ. Some of you may remember that the last time I was here, I spoke of the good news in that calling. Galatians 1:15, who called me by his grace. And perhaps it's good to move on to the next stage, a further step. Romans 1:7, called to be saints, called by his grace. And then we want to consider the next phrase in that, called to be saints. Romans 1:7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. We could compare, if we liked, 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. The same expression, exactly. What does this mean? We are called to be saints. Are we very holy people? Visibly holy people? A famous sarcastic painting painted in 1930 by an American, Grant Woods, has the title American Gothic. And in that painting, you see a middle-aged man and woman on a farm. He's holding out his spade. They're both wearing black clothes. They both have very long, gloomy faces. They both have somber expressions. It's clear that they're doing hard work and that there's no fun at all. And he calls that holiness. Holiness. It's sarcastic. It's a falsehood. Another American, H.L. Mencken, says, Puritanism is the haunting fear that someone, somewhere, may be happy. He's being sarcastic, isn't he? The haunting fear that someone, somewhere, may be happy. We don't want anybody to be happy. We're very gloomy people. No smiles. Right from beginning to end. Now, friends, we recognize these immediately as distortions. It's the world trying to laugh. But sometimes ourselves, I feel it. I'm sure many of you do. We feel the pursuit of holiness as rather a burden, a daunting experience, perhaps even at times unwelcome in some areas. We have to be holy. Now certainly we are called to be holy, to be called saints, it's the same word, over and over in the Bible. But we need to be thinking straight about this. This not only doesn't contradict our last study, called by grace, there are even better news in this phrase than there was then. And I'd like to look at them this morning under three headings. A present fact, a continuing challenge, and a supreme blessing. Called to be saints. Let's begin with a present fact. It is based on the work of Christ for us. It is based on the work of Christ for us. Paul is writing to the Roman Christians. Paul has never visited Rome. There are many Christians there whom he has never met and doesn't know. And yet he describes them all without qualification. To all that be in Rome, in the Roman church, beloved of God, called to be saints. Everyone in the Roman church, Paul says, I haven't met them, I haven't seen them, I don't know them, but they're in the Roman church and they are called to be saints. We see it even more surprisingly, perhaps, in Corinthians. Paul knows the Christians in Corinth. He's been there. He's lived there. He knows what they're right, what they're like. You remember in 1 Corinthians 1, he says, not many wise men, foolish, weak, base, despised. These were the Christians. And it's still a church with very serious problems. And Paul's trying to deal with them in his letters to the Corinthians. And yet they too, without an exception, 1 Corinthians 1, 2, are called to be saints. In other words, we're seeing here, friends, that the popular idea of a saint is therefore mistaken. He's not some very, or she, some very, very unusual, outstandingly, brilliantly, awesomely holy person. Churches are not composed entirely of spiritual giants, of mystics, of people who are outstandingly good. Christians, 1 Corinthians 1, 2, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Every believer, everywhere, in every church, is called to be a saint, known as a saint. All of us here who are truly regenerate and trusting in Christ, trusting in God through Christ, we are all saints. This is Paul's normal way of referring to believers. In his writings in the New Testament, at least 38 times, he talks about the saints. That's how he describes them. The saints which are at Ephesus, to all the saints at Philippi, to the saints at Colossae, all the time. And so, friends, being a saint can't be something we achieve. Can't be something we win. Something we work for. And then when we've done enough work, God gives it to us. No. No. It's given by God. And it's true of everyone in Christ. All of us in Christ are saints in the eyes of God and in his words. We know from Romans 1:1 that Paul was called to be an apostle. That wasn't a goal that he had to work for. God wasn't saying to him, Paul, increase in your holiness, do more work, and I'm calling you, if you pass, if you do enough, you will be an apostle. You're an apostle now. You're an apostle now. From this second, I recognize you as an apostle. You're called to be an apostle. And it's exactly the same. Called to be saints. And so that means every believer, from the moment when they trust in Christ, they're regarded as saints. It's interesting, and I'm sure you'll have noticed it, some of you, called to be saints The words to be are not in the original Greek. They're put in italics, which is very helpful and wise in the translation. Called saints. And friends, this links with another aspect of the calling. Paul doesn't just mean you're summoned, you're invited to be saints. The word call means to give a name to. When we have children, we call them. We give them a name. This is what they're called. We read in the beginning of the Bible that whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. He called them, and that was their name. In other words, friends, the word name in the Bible isn't just a verbal tag. It refers to identity. To identity. If someone is called a scientist, that is what he does. And that's the way the word is used here. Called saints, because we live like saints, we act like saints. We have a new status. The change of the name is the change of the status. Call can almost mean to create. In Isaiah 43 verse 7, God speaks of everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. The two hold together. To be called a child of God means that God has created you for his glory. In other words, we're called saints because that is what God, through Christ, has already made us. Paul amplifies this, for example, in 1 Corinthians 1:2. He says, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. The two things hold together. God has set us apart. God has taken us out of Adam. God has given us a new covenant representative. God has put us into Christ so that we hang from him. We depend on him. His holiness is imputed to us. God is now dealing with us on an entirely new basis. We're in a different category to the rest of humanity. Definitely, unalterably, that's exactly who saints are. Those who permanently, completely belong to God for all eternity. And that's true of every Christian. It's equally true. Whether or not we feel it, we are saints. Whether or not sometimes we don't look like it, if we've been born again, we are saints. It's not referring here to a subjective experience. It's an objective reality. We are saints. That is a fact. And friends, it's enormously important to believe this, to realize it, to grasp what a change has taken place, to grasp how final is our salvation, how decisive. We're not earning it. It has happened. We have been called saints to all eternity. John, in Romans 5:24, the Lord says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life and will not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. That's final. It's complete. Can't be lost, can't be changed. That decisive eternal event happens to those who are in Christ. We are called to be saints. And friends, it's good for us to reflect on that, to worship God. It's wonderful. But this doesn't exhaust the idea of the sainthood. There is in these words something richer, something dynamic, something transforming. And that brings us to our second thought point. Call to be saints, a continuing challenge. Something based on the work of the Spirit in us. As I said a few moments ago, the words to be are not in the original Greek. But actually, in the light of all the other scriptures, they're good theology. For friends, and we know this, we are called to become in our daily living, in our practice, what we already are in our status. Let me repeat that. We are called to become in our experience, in our character, in our behavior, what we already are in our status. We have been separated from the world for God. And it's now important that we live in a way which demonstrates the reality of the new relationship. We've been called to be saints. Therefore, we are to live as saints. We are to put the reality into practice. Not many of you, I'm sure, are interested in biblical ethics. But we call it the difference between the indicative and the imperative. The indicative comes first. The imperative comes second. The indicative is a statement of truth. The imperative is a commandment, an order. Think, for example, of what we read from Exodus 20. The commandments are there. This is what we're to do. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and so on. Those are the commandments. But what comes before them? I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And only then, and only because of it, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I have taken you to be my people. I have rescued you. I have brought you away from evil. I have put you in a new place. Now, live as I have done for you in your status. Israel was already holy through the Exodus. They now have to discover the practice of holiness, the implications, the commands. Peter puts it clearly in 1 Peter 1:15, as he who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matter of conversation. God has called you. The Holy God has called you to himself. And you're his. Because he has done this for you. Therefore, you are to live in a new way. Because of the deliverance. Because of the salvation. God has brought you to himself. Therefore, live appropriately. That's the purpose of God's calling us, to make people like himself. In this world, in the world to come, he wants us to be mirrors of his glory. It's a continuing challenge. No instant holiness is attainable. It comes slowly. It comes steadily. We've been called by his grace, and we're called, therefore, to be saints in holiness. Never forget that at the heart of Christian growth is a stark cross. We have been delivered by that cross. But then, as it were, we are to live that cross in following Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. And our pattern is to be that of the Lord. Death, resurrection, and renewal. And in Christ, we have died to sin. We have been born again. And now we're to live in a new way. I presume, children, that some of the older ones of you have reached question 35 of the Shorter Catechism. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby renewed in the whole man after the image of God. That's what's happened to us. Free grace. And we're renewed in the whole man after the image of God. But what happens then? We're enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. You see how clearly it's put it. We've been delivered. And because we've been delivered, we're going to live in that new way. Resisting temptation. 100 times a day, we're to say no, no to temptation. Paul says in Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Let me again, this last time, I do quote John Owen quite often, but you may have known John Owen from your previous minister, may have quoted him once or twice. John Owen writes, I like it very much. The choicest believers who are assuredly free from the condemning power of sin. Free from the condemning power of sin. Ought yet to make it their business all their days to mortify the indwelling power of sin. See the difference in understanding it. In Christ, we're free from the condemning power of sin. And therefore, we're to live every day to put to death the indwelling power of sin. We can't blunt the cutting edge of this continuing challenge. We can't turn it into something cute or cool. Luke 23. If any man will come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. See, that's what we've been thinking. Different pictures, different angles. That's as a Christian what we're to do. Friends, is there anything more neglected today in the Church of Christ than a serious, detailed quest for holiness? Yes, we can caricature the Puritans. One writer recently said, we are more theologically astute. But friends, are we dealing with the daily challenge to be holy men and holy women? We're called to be saints. Does that guide us? Does that guard us? Does that energize us? Remember right back at the beginning, Joseph, tempted, as a young man was often tempted. And in Genesis 39:9, Joseph says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? This is to be the great pursuit. One more thing on this point before we leave it. Please notice that saint or holy one is a plural noun. And everywhere throughout the New Testament, the word saints always occurs in the plural. I hope I won't get a phone call during the week and say that some of you have looked it up in your dictionary and have found some place where it's a singular, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't. It's always saints. There's a balance here to the address which I made several weeks ago, the one who called me by his grace. Yet that's true. But individualism can be lonely. Individualism can damage our pursuit of godliness, for holiness is largely relationship. It's looking to a community. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. For these, we need other people. We're not really going to get deeply involved in these things by ourselves. The challenge is not go and polish a halo in isolation. But friends, the challenge is to become saints together, to be saints together, to encourage one another, to thrill each other, to test each other, to help each other. You know how the greatest commandments are linked. Love God, love your neighbor. The two belong together. In 1 John 4:20, we're told that we're to grow in love for our God for the sake of our neighbors. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Saints. And then more briefly, one final point. I've called it supreme blessing. The image of Jesus in us. The image of Jesus in us. Friends, the idea of holiness sometimes seems curiously bland, colourless, uninteresting, boring. Now, it wasn't my parents' fault. I don't know how it happened. But when I was a little boy, what I saw of as heaven was sitting in my good Sabbath clothes forever on a pew watching something happening for millions and millions and millions of years. And I have to confess and say, as a little boy, that didn't excite me or bring enthusiasm to me very easily. Sometimes we're not good at imagining the holiness of the saints. Remember, it's planted in the Lord Jesus. He's the one who is utterly holy. What sort of a human being was Jesus? How did he live? How did he behave? Read the Gospels. He's the pattern we follow. The homes where he was, the people he was talking to, the things he did for those who were wicked from God, sharing himself, time with them, coming to know them, changing many of them. He calls us to follow in his path. We're planted in the Lord Jesus. And we've got to try and live like him. And friends, I believe that we could spend time discussing it. That this covers all aspects of our lives. As God's people, we have the life that he's given us. And there's things in your life and mine that are piercing and thrilling, things that are sweet, things that are sad, awakening yearnings, satisfying yearnings. I think of walking in the hills with one of my friends. He's now in heaven. But he used to think of it and do it and enjoy it. You think of our family sitting together, talking together, being a family. Think of some books we've read, and we enjoy it. It speaks to us. Certain music. Think of stabs of longing in us for something lovely, something transcendent, and yet at the same time, it is familiar. And friends, this is, in a sense, our hearts crying for the beauty of God. The beauty of God, which is holiness. Psalm 27, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Psalm 96, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. We're not to live stunted emotional lives as Christians. It's the passion of the Psalms we sing over and over again. I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. That's how we began today. And as you and I sang those words, did you mean them? Did I mean them? Was I saying to God, God, I love you. My soul doth thirst for thee. That's what we sang before we began the worship together. How do we sing it? Holiness. Holiness, there's something in it. It's dazzling, heart-wrenching beauty of the God we are to reach for. Let me quote Samuel Rutherford, one of the early covenanters. Rutherford says, the beauty of God, I like this, is the truth of the Lord's nature and all his attributes, offered to the understanding and mind, and drawing out from them admiration and wondering love. The truth of God's nature, who God is, and his attributes, how he acts, what he does. Holiness, saintliness, can't be a contradiction of our humanity, but it renews our humanity. You and I are made in the image of God. And so, as I grow in grace, I become more human than I've ever been. And God restores, renews my humanity, as we see in his Son. To be holy means, part of it, is to find ourselves fully for the first time. I'm not saying holiness isn't sometimes demanding, scary. Sometimes God is rather like a faithful dentist who you know is going to cause some discomfort, but you know why. Paul says in this verse, beloved of God, called to be saints. We're called because we're beloved. We're saints because we loved him. And his purpose is to make us like himself. Called to be saints. And the best of all is it's going to happen. It's going to happen. This is not a pathetic quest for unreachable things. We're not programmed to fail. God's calling isn't just a summons, an invitation. It's a reality. You may have heard the story, years ago I heard it first, but true, of a thief in Japan who had been converted. And he had served his years in prison, and he was out into life again. And as a new Christian, one of the things he worried about was breaking into sin again. Supposing he stole. He wanted to steal. Supposing he committed adultery. He wanted to do that. How could he be rescued? One day he walked into a church. He'd never been in a church before. And the church, whether we would like it or not, but the church had the Ten Commandments of God painted on the wall. And the man looked at them. Tears ran down his cheeks and a big smile on his face. He thought they were promises. He didn't know there were commandments. He thought God was saying to him, you won't. You won't. And in a way, friends, the two things hang together. They are commands. They are commands. And the time is coming when they will be completely and perfectly fulfilled in you and me in heaven. Commands and prophecies, as it were, both real. Thou shalt not kill. I'm not to kill. And then eternity, that's how it will be forever. Let us take our stand in Christ, where God has placed us. Let us give ourselves as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, to perfecting holiness. Let us aim at that. Perfecting holiness. And the assurance that one day it will be fulfilled. For as John says, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And dear beloved friends, let you and I today give ourselves to the Lord. Dear Lord, help me, day by day, to be more and more like you. And help me to help my brothers and sisters in the church to be more like you, for your glory. Amen. Let us have a brief prayer. O Lord our God, we know times when we are very ashamed about ourselves, we're discouraged, we're even angry with ourselves, and sometimes we get low-minded and weak-hearted. How we thank you for the beauty of your word. We thank you, O God, that in Christ every one of his is now completely and perfectly holy. And we thank you that you then call us to live in our lives in fulfilling that which is true of us already in Christ. Enable us by your Spirit day by day. And we pray, O God, if there are any here who have not yet come to Christ as their Saviour, that they will sense his love and that you will bring them to him in real repentance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.